Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
Upskill.
Masterclass.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the 12th episode of the Upskilled Masterclass. My name's Ralph Tucker. Today, we'll be continuing our five-part series on small business. It's often said that small business is the backbone of the Australian economy, with some statistics suggesting close to half the workforce in this country are employed in small business. This series of episodes is designed to focus on the subject areas associated with Upskilled Certificate 4 in small business. The whole course is a little too broad to be covered in one conversation, so we've decided to break it down into five key areas: legal requirements for starting or running a small business, the importance of planning, keeping track of your finances, building a winning team, marketing your business, and finding and keeping your customers. To discuss these areas in greater detail, we'll be talking to one of Upskilled's trainers, Keith Mogford. Keith, welcome back to the Upskilled Masterclass.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We've covered off on a few subjects so far, like the legal requirements for starting or running a small business, the importance of planning, and keeping track of your finances. Now, today's subject is building a winning team. Many small businesses vary, so how important is it for someone in their own business to surround themselves with good people?
Quite simply, if you are not surrounded with good people, then you don't have a winning team, and in essence, you don't have a good business. So I guess, you know, I always take it from a point of view where you really do need to surround yourself with people who are expertise in their own right. Your accountants, your lawyers, your mentors, your bankers, people who are fundamentally, you know, the part of the DNA of the business. You can't do it all yourself anyway, it's as simple as that. So why wouldn't you surround yourself with good people? It really is a major part of the actual business. And if you're trying to struggle from that transition and moving forward without having those people around you, makes life really difficult, Ralph, really difficult.
I would imagine that some people do struggle with that transition. You may have seen it over the years where someone's been running a small business or, in fact, providing a consultancy service or trade service where they're pretty much just the one person in the business. They're called micro businesses. And then when the business sort of develops and grows, they then have to employ other people. Have you seen struggles? What would be the main pitfalls there for people that are used to running their own race, as it were?
Yeah, good question, Ralph. And I guess there isn't one particular area, but it's a collection. And there may only be small aspects of part of their business, but each one of those slowly builds, and collectively it becomes a tsunami. And what actually happens, they're overwhelmed by the issues of growing that small business. I mean, once you've started your own small business, you obviously, as you just said, you may decide to stretch your creativity and grow your business and your profits. But the size of your small business really, Ralph, is directly proportional to the number of customers that you have. And when you look at it, the number of goods or services that you can provide, and that's what it's about. So essentially, the only ways you can grow your business is to get more customers. And to get more customers, you need to buy more. And to get more, to get your customers to buy more, you want to have them, you know, more frequently. So, you know, the only way that's going to happen is by having all your ducks in a row and making sure that you have undertaken that growth strategy that would include, you know, an active continuum that your business base is going to grow. So, you know, if you're a home base or micro business, as you alluded to, you may consider relocating to the home base business into a business incubator. Now, there are a lot of business incubators across Australia, and the rates that they charge are ridiculously low. And generally, you've got full support of an office. You've got you know, a proper office address, you've got the expertise, you've got meeting rooms, you've got everything there. So, you know, that's something to explore. And while we're talking about exploring, why not explore new interstate markets or maybe exporting to international markets if you're growing your business? You know, innovation is one of the most important things at the moment. And, you know, China has been the powerhouse of pumping things out. But over the next 10 years, China will be the innovation of the world. And that's where, you know, Australia and entrepreneurs need to be. So when you're talking about growing a business, you've got to think very strategically. You've got to think about you know, the plan of where you will be in, you know, 3, 5, 10 years' time, that will increase your size of your customers while maintaining that supply. You know, it may be possible to grow the size of your small business, but, you know, your business will only survive by if you're thriving.
In Upskilled Small Business courses, there are a couple of units that are specifically devoted to leadership and managing people and the processes that go along with that. The term leadership, does that sit well with you in terms of somebody taking charge of their own small business?
Yeah, you've got to have a leadership, haven't you? I mean, where would the Army be without their leaders and their generals? And I guess, you know, I take a great statement from the general who's Colin Powell, is now retired, the Secretary of State in the US, and he said once that that, you know, many barriers to upward communication, you know, that so their very idea of someone lower down the hierarchy looking up to a leader to help for that you know, initial help, really acts as someone who is showing weakness and failure. So what he's actually saying is that if someone's asking for help and you fail to give it, or that person thinks that, you know, it's a point of failure or weakness, people then tend to cover that up, and they tend to cover up the gaps, and the organisations, you know, really do suffer accordingly. So, you know, real leaders, in essence, need to make themselves accessible and available. They need to show concern, their efforts and challenges faced by, you know, their underlings, if I can put it that way. And even as they, you know, demand high standards, it's a one that really you need to invoke and help everybody. When we're talking about leadership, you know, we're talking about intelligent, honest, creativity, being confident, you know, driven and courageous.
What sort of role does delegation play in that?
You should give people the power to make their own decisions, but you need to be there to support them all the way along. You can't take on the leadership and think that you're leading by undertaking everybody's work. You need to delegate. And if you're not delegating, then you're in a situation where you will become overwhelmed and the subordinates underneath you will find that you're taking control and they feel that they don't trust you. So it is a matter of trust, and it's certainly an area where that delegation needs to be put out there.
Yeah, trust was something that I was going to bring up. I mean, that is obviously going to be an important thing when you obviously want to grow the business. So you're trusting your employees that you've hired to do the job that they're paid to do, let them do that job without being too overbearing, but at the same time wanting to get the best results.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, you need to be able to embrace, you know, what you're actually doing and embrace it so that you are willing, you know, to take the real efforts and not fake those risks. Many bosses, like many people, try to stand out in some, you know, specific way, maybe through their clothes, their interests or public displays or the support or, you know, how popular they are. But do they stand out for reasons, which is like, you know, it's the sizzle, not the steak, you know. You can be, you know, there are bosses out there that stand out because they are willing to take that unpopular stand. And I guess, you know, good leadership involves that responsibility to the welfare of the group, you know, which means some people will get angry at the actions and decisions that you take. It's inevitable. You know, if you're honourable and you're trying to get everyone to like you, well, it's a sign of, you know, that you're not doing your job properly because you're avoiding the tough decisions. And if you avoid, you know, confronting the people who need to be confronted, then you're really offering a different, you know, reward base on, you know, differential preferences because some people might get upset. So, you know, ironically, by procrastinating on the difficult choices, by trying not to get anyone mad, and by treating everyone equally nicely, regardless of their contributions, you're simply basically, Ralph, ensuring that only the people that, you know, wind you up and anger you are the most creative and productive people in the organisation. So, in essence, you know, what we're saying here you really do need to be able to embrace the whole business of taking those tough decisions as a leader.
Another feature of leadership would be clear and direct communication. How important is that for a leader to have those skills?
Yeah, it needs to be transparent as far as, to a degree, obviously. I mean, there are some, issues when you are directing a business that you need to be obviously kept confidential. But having an open, transparent program that allows your employees, your business to be upfront, and that you're not hiding anything, gives that honesty. And the honesty of being able to talk to people, whether it be your staff, your internal suppliers, your external suppliers, your customers, your clients, are, in essence, the, having that ability to show your honesty throughout. And if you're trying to hide something, it quickly comes through. So, you've really got to be out there demonstrating who you are and what you're doing.
I'd also imagine you'd have to adjust and allow your employees to grow along with the business. And that, when I talk about that, I'm talking about a willingness to allow them to develop their skills and knowledge.
Again, that comes back to training, and it comes back to giving those particular employees the staff, and it may be, external staff as well, but giving those employees the necessary tools to do the job. You can't, hold somebody back because they haven't got the hammer or the screwdriver. You equally can't hold them back if they don't know how to use, that hammer and the screwdriver. So you need to teach them. And you get rewarded by demonstrating, that you are able to give those people a skill set, something that they can also move forward in their own careers. You're rewarding them for the efforts and what they're putting in, but obviously they will take that with them. You're not going to have, people, well, you may, but it'd be unlikely these days. The majority of people stay with you for about 5 years. Very rarely do you get companies that are, have, 25, 30-year employees. You do in the mining sector and obviously big corporate companies. But generally speaking, I mean, most people tend to have a turnaround somewhere between every 3 and 5 years. And if they can take with them some of that skill set, you are giving back. And that's the thing. You need to give back in education, training, and it is a lifelong learning curve, not only for the company and the rewards that brings back to you, but it also makes them feel part of an organization that they want to be part of. Equally, it makes your company innovative. It gives you the state-of-the-art technology, and that will make you stand out from the rest of the crowd. So teaching, training, and developing, people, and it can be online, so, it's not taking time out from the workplace. And Upskilled are very good at doing their online courses, so it allows people to develop their skill set, which in return rewards the company.
What do you think are the other main personality traits or attributes that a leader should have in a small business environment?
There are so many that one could, look at. And I guess many of those traits are really when you're looking, at the competency initially, I guess, at that particular point of a leader. We've mentioned trust, which is obviously one of the most important things. Clear communications, obviously, is another one. And if you can't communicate, then you won't be able to communicate with your employees, and the employees won't be able to communicate with the customers. And so another one that you really need to make sure, if that clear communication, trust and competency is there, is really by giving those individuals the necessary support. And when you're giving that support, you need to be fair, but you also need to be firm as well. But you need to be consistent in what you're doing to make that actually transition so that, there is a willingness on both sides to develop skills and knowledge, not only with your own team, but with others as well. So, again, it's having that, emotion where you can sort of, good bosses, as they say, can wear their emotions on their sleeves. Bad boss, won't throw the employee under the bus as it's travelling along. If you're on the bus and there's a problem, then you deal with it. You don't chuck that person off. You've got to give people credit for what they're doing. And really, I guess at the end of the day, you know, you lead by permission, not authority. And that, as we've seen in recent times in Australia with the change in the PM, you know, you are only governed and governing that position as a supervisor, manager, by the people who elect you there. If it's not working, then your staff will leave and your business will suffer. So you do need to recognise the difference. And, you know, good bosses are remembered.
In one of our earlier episodes, we discussed the importance of planning. As part of building a winning team, that also comes into place when you think about job descriptions and forecasting workloads for people and things like that. So again, we go back to the importance of planning when setting up your business. It's also important when building your team as well.
You touched on, you know, three or four points there, but when you stretch that out, the planning is so important, whether it be the business plan, the marketing plan, the financial plan, the strategic plan, your action plans. But that really boils down to a checklist. If you're expanding or growing your business, and you need, before you even do that, you need to analyse, first of all, your business. Do you know where to find, you know, advice and support? You know, what have you conducted as far as your business at the moment with market research if you're going to expand it? Have you reviewed your business marketing plans? Have you reviewed your systems and codes of practice? You know, what happens if there's an emergency? Have you prepared for that? So that's just part of the analysing part of the business. You then really need to start looking at improving your internal process. So do you need to change your business structure? You may be a sole trader and you want to move on to be a proprietary limited company. So have you considered updating the corporate governance of your organisation? Have you considered the financial, you know, management practices? Because as the business grows, so will the financial regulations and processes will change with you. And equal to that, so are the legal obligations. So we've looked at the analysing your business, improving your internal process, and then, as you mentioned, about the growth of the workplace. Do you need to employ people or could you subcontract them? Do you need training? Do you need to train yourself before you can start putting people on? You know, do you need to move to bigger premises? So, again, looking at the growth in the workplace. And then there comes, finally, those opportunities for the business growth. I've already mentioned about innovation, expanding your business to sell it online. Maybe you want to look at franchising your own business, or maybe, you know, looking at tenders and contracts, or, you know, the environmental policies that you're looking at. What are the management signs there? What about grants and financial assistance or exporting or importing goods? So the opportunities for growth are embedded in those points. So analysing your business, improving your internal process, growth in the workplace, opportunities for your actual business growth are all encompassing within that initial checklist if you want to make the business grow.
Generation Y often cops a bad rap, but you said there you want to keep an eye on the future when you're setting up your business and also building your winning team that you hope will take you forward into the future. How important is it recognizing and nurturing young talent, because they are going to be probably the most important employees for you moving forward?
Yeah, we look at assets in a more sort of solid focus where, you know, it's the building, it's the infrastructure that you have within the building, the plant and equipment, that sort of thing. But don't you think that the people that are working in the business are the biggest asset? You know, they are on the payroll, so they're probably one of the most expensive part of your assets. So you really, this is coming back to a really feel-good business and people that want to work for you. You've got to look after them. You've got to train them. You've got to nurture them. In other words, what we're saying, coaching and mentoring should be an integral part of a manager's position, whether you call yourself a CEO, general manager, manager, supervisor, team leader. It doesn't matter. Whatever part or role you play, even if it's someone, a colleague, you know, you can help and nurture, and likewise they can as well. It's always good to have someone coaching and mentoring you, and from a employer's point of view, they should always have that gradual drip of mentoring and coaching and allowing that employee to be immersed in a way that they can grow within themselves as individuals, especially young people, but also allow them the opportunity to broaden their horizons further down the track. And having those assets and looking after those people by training and offering training up front through Upskilled or other training providers is really a very, very important aspect of the overall business plan.
We'll wrap things up on this episode in a moment, Keith, but were there any other thoughts that you had in regards to building a winning team?
Oh, look, I think building a winning team is so many points here that we could look at over, you know, the overall distance of a business, you know, planning where it wants to run, you know, start off maybe very small and just go into those little steps, but planning a business. So eventually, you know, you should be able to let it run itself. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. You know, you should have those policies and procedures. And I really strongly recommend that you get those policies and procedures down before you actually start with the business, because retrospectively, it's very difficult to get those policies up to date. Enjoy your time with your staff. Have fun with them. Make sure that they enjoy what they're doing and what you're doing. Have time out with your staff, which is really important. Having good job descriptions so people know what they're about. And forecasting, you know, your workloads and growth for quiet times and busy times. And more importantly, recruit the right people, the people that fit within your DNA and the people that fit within the DNA of the business. You know, you may be wanting to employ them, but subcontract work may be another way of looking at it. But also, training and succession planning are also important parts of the business. There's so many, when you have that question, has such a broad scope, and there's so many points that I could, you know, to that. But they're just a few of some of the things that I feel that, you know, are important as far as the overall planning process goes. And would certainly, you know, like to see the people are listening to this to maybe further their education with Upskilled further down the track.
Thanks, Keith. There's been some really great thoughts there on how to build a winning team when you've got a small business. We will wrap our five-part series up next week when we talk about marketing your business and finding and keeping your customers. So I look forward to chatting to you about that on the Upskilled Masterclass next week.
And I really appreciate your time today, and it's been great having a chat with you. Cheers.
Thanks for taking the time out to listen today. If you've got any questions or feedback, please head to the website upskilled.edu.au. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can also leave us a rating or review on iTunes, which would be greatly appreciated. And if you really enjoyed today's podcast with Upskilled trainer Keith Mogford, please tell a friend. I'm Ralph Tucker. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll catch you next time on the Upskilled Masterclass.
Upskilled. Upskilled. Masterclass.